I believe my Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God.
Credo a ciò che dice di Dio.
我相信圣经所说的有关我的过去、我的现在以及我的未来。
Ek glo my Bybel is die hoogste autoriteit in my lewe.
I believe God will use His Word to speak to me and to you today.
Hey church, welcome back. This morning I want to speak with you on a topic that I guess we don't talk much about. We don't think about it a lot. I don't know whether you do, but I basically take it for granted. I don't think much about it at all. And the topic, of course, is light. You know, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, and it was void." In verse 2, it says, "And darkness was hovering over the face of the deep, and the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters." Now listen to what verse 3 says, because it's so simple, yet so profound. And God said, God spoke these words, "Let there be light." And there simply was. There was light. And you know, our ability to sustain life on this planet hangs on the fact that God has placed the sun in perfect proximity to this planet. Light's important. Light's important for life. And I want to talk to you about light, but specifically in connection with what Jesus says. For those of you who don't know where we're up to, we've been doing the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to continue. You'll find the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapter 5 through to chapter 7. And so up to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. Now I'm reading from the New King James Version. You can read whatever version you like. If you want to join me, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16 says, and this is Jesus speaking to his disciples and to his audience, "You are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now that is really a powerful statement. You are the light of the world. And when you consider how powerful light is, how necessary light is, that's got to make you stop and think. Jesus is really saying something quite profound here. We need to prick up our ears and begin to investigate. What is he really talking about? So let's start with the most obvious question of all. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. I am the light of the world." So what is light? Well, scientifically speaking, light is this array on the electromagnetic spectrum. Now, there's lots of different arrays on that spectrum. You've got alpha rays, gamma rays, ultraviolet rays, microwaves, sonic waves, radio waves. The list goes on the different types of waves that are on that spectrum. But Jesus isn't talking about the whole lot, is he? He doesn't say, "You are the electromagnetic spectrum of the world." No, he says, "You are the light. You are this array here." And so plenty of good messages have been spent, preached, I guess, on, you are the lasers of the world and you are this and that. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying that you and I are the light of the world. The most functioning, the most operational part of that array is light. The bit that affects us all, the bit that allows us all to see. The naked eye can see because of light. And Jesus isn't suggesting that you're many, many types of light in this whole spectrum. You don't have to be what you're not. You're simply light. And the main function of light is to illuminate. The part that everyone associates with, the part that affects everybody, is the luminosity, the ability of light to take the darkness and put light onto it, and all of a sudden you can see everything around you becomes visible because of this array on the spectrum of the magnetic spectrum. Light illuminates, and as a direct result of light illuminating, darkness flees, darkness dissipates. Illumination allows you and I to see. Illumination is important because, first of all, what it does is allows you to see what's around you, right? When the light goes on, you see what's around you. Illumination is also important to see where you're going. You know, it's one thing to know where you are, it's another thing to know where you're going. And the third thing that illumination does is it shows you the distance between where you are now and where you're going and any hurdles or obstacles or things you have to overcome on the way. And so the absence of light is obviously the absence of illumination. You can't see what's in front of you. You can't see where you're going, and you can't see the obstacles in front of you. Absence of illumination causes us to be apprehensive, causes us to be fearful. It can really immobilize. In fact, can absolutely cause our lives to stall right where we are because we're afraid to move on because we can't see where we're going. Imagine you're in an open field. You don't know you're in an open field, but you're in an open field, right? And then there's no light though. You're completely blind. There's nothing to give away where you are, what you're looking at, or what you could be looking at. And you're trying to move forward in life. Now, if you were to walk forward, you'd be doing it with your hands in front of you, very cautiously. You'd be sort of putting your toes forward very carefully and cautiously. You would rightfully be fearful in not moving forward. Like there'd be something wrong with you if you were charging with your blindfold on and you couldn't see a single thing. If you had no idea where you were and you were going forward at great pace, you'd absolutely be as silly as they come. And so that fear that comes from the darkness is actually quite natural. That apprehension that comes from not knowing where you are, where you're going, and what's in front of you, that's a normal and healthy fear. I mean, who knows if the next step that you're going to take is an obstacle to trip on. Who knows if the next step that you're about to take isn't going to be smack into a wall and you're going to break your nose. Who knows if the next step you're about to take isn't going to be the edge of a cliff and is your demise. We don't know. So when there is no light, when there is no illumination, you don't have the ability to see the now. You don't have the ability to see in the future. You don't have the ability to see the next step at times. And we're fearful and we're very, very cautious. But you can't move forward in life. When I was a kid, I shared a bedroom with my brother. And we had the bedroom in the back of the house. So the street lights were at the front. But we had a retracting, you know, those roll up blinds. If you let them go, they... But in our bedroom, these roller blinds, they snuck firmly into the corner of the windowsill, and it would basically let no light in. And so we'd go to bed and the blinds would be pulled down, the lights would be turned out, and you could literally not see your hand in front of your face. It was so dark. Now, when you're in your room and you feel safe, you know you're safe, you can hear mum and dad, and there's those things that can help you feel safe, the darkness is not too bad. But if you've been in a dream and you wake up and there you're fearful and you've been chased by someone, you wake up and you can't even see your own jolly hand and you start flapping your arms around. Well, I certainly did, flapping my arms around looking for something and clunk on the wall and clunk on my head and you're just looking around. It doesn't matter the fact that your eyes are open, you can't see anything. And it's until you find that light switch and flick it on, all of a sudden, everything changes. Everything changes. You can see I'm not running down this factory with some crazy man chasing me. I'm sitting in my bed. Everything comes into focus. All your fear dissipates. As soon as that light comes on, the dark goes, and so does all the fear and the apprehension, the nervousness. That feeling of where am I is a terrible, terrible disorienting feeling. And that's the point. Light, when it comes on, it dispels the dark. But along with it goes all your fears and your uncertainties, your confusion, your disorientation, it goes. When the light goes on, you know where you are. And in comes comfort, in comes relief, in comes hope. When Lisa and I got married many, many moons ago, we went on our honeymoon to Tasmania. And Tasmania, if you don't know, is this beautiful little quaint island, the south of Victoria. And when we were there, I'd actually booked the accommodation. And I found this gorgeous stone cabin in just this wonderful, beautiful, pristine, green, well-treed area. Found this cabin online, booked it. Anyway, when we got there, of course, we arrived at night, so it was a bit hard to see. And we're driving through this dirt road, and headlights are on, and there it is amongst the trees, this beautiful stone cabin. It was absolutely gorgeous. It was everything I hoped it would be. So not long after we get into the cabin and we've settled in, you know, unpacked the car, had dinner and settled in, lights go off. And no sooner had the lights gone off than I start to hear this scratching on the windows. And I could hear this scratching on the stone walls. I mean, come on. And then rattling, the doors rattling. I could actually hear footsteps outside the door, outside the window. Well, I reckon I spent nearly the whole night lying awake, thinking of how I was going to defend my wife, what objects I was going to grab. You know, the imagination goes absolutely crazy. But after sitting there awake, staring and listening, not being able to see anything, sitting there, eventually I must have fallen asleep out of sheer exhaustion, you know, chasing these imaginary things in my sleep. But when I woke in the morning, of course, it was almost comical because this cabin was actually just placed in the middle of a field, and what was around us was just a herd of cattle, and there's about 100 cows just coming to say hello last night. They wanted to meet the visitors, the new people in the cabin. And so the point I want to make is, you know, darkness can be a very fearful place. Darkness can be a very confusing place, a very disorienting place. And even the things that are harmless, such as a bunch of cows just mooing and eating grass outside, can become quite a fearful thing when you can't see. You and I are the light of the world. We're meant to illuminate. Like when I woke up in the morning and the sun came out and all of a sudden, everything made sense. Imagination was put aside, fears were pushed aside, and all that was left were the cold, hard facts. This is a gorgeous little cabin in the woods, and I always was safe. There was nothing to be fearful of. And that is the beauty of light. Light is the great revealer. Light allows you to see truth from falsehood. Light allows you to see reality from fiction. And you and I are meant to be the light of the world. Jesus uses two examples to draw on two elements or two aspects of light. First of all, the nature of light. Second of all, the purpose of light. Let's talk about nature first. Jesus says that light should be compared to a city on a hill, right? He says, a city on a hill can't be hidden. And the nature of light is that it can't be hidden. You can't hide a city on a hill. Why would you build a city on a hill just to hide it? And so the nature of light is to be out there. The nature of light is to be an exposer. The nature of light is to be seen. It's not just to expose what's going on, but light in itself must be seen. You can't hide light. You shouldn't be able to hide light. It cannot be hidden. And so if you are the light of the world, and you have light in you, that light cannot be hidden. Cannot be hidden. So let's talk about the function of light. Jesus then moves on to draw a comparison with a candle, a light, a lamp. In fact, it's not really even a comparison. It's a direct application of light. He says that you don't hide the light under a bushel. You don't hide it under a basket. You actually put it on a mantelpiece so that it gives light to everybody in the house. Now, if you did actually cover up a lamp under a bushel or something like that, now two things are going to happen. First of all, it ceases to function as a light should. Now, it might be actually burning under there, but it's not doing what it's meant to do. It might be a light, but it's not producing anything. Nobody's gaining any benefit from that light being hidden under a basket. The second thing that will happen is, not only will it cease to function as it's meant to and becomes pretty well redundant, but the fact is it will eventually suffocate under that basket. You know, you can do a test of your own, put a candle in a glass, and it won't take long before it suffocates and dies. So friend, Christian, born-again believer, you can't hide. You can't hide the light that's within you. And here's the troubling thing. If you actually do find a way to hide the light that's within you, that light that's in you doesn't shine, my warning that Jesus would well and truly give you here is that light is meant to shine, and if you cover it up, be warned, you will smother it and it will die. The more and more you suppress the light that's meant to be shining out, the flame will eventually go out inside you. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Well, you know the nature of the light is to be seen, right? The nature of the light is to be there, not hidden. And the second thing is its function is to illuminate. Everybody in the house wants to gain a benefit from the light being on. Everybody in the house doesn't want to be stumbling around in the dark. While you've got a perfectly good light hidden under a basket, that's not what the purpose of life is. You are meant to be seen and you are meant to reveal. You're meant to illuminate. Are you doing it? Now, what are you meant to illuminate? What is this light that's meant to be seen by everybody? Well, turn to 1 John chapter 1. Again, I'm reading from the New King James Version. 1 John 1 verse 5 to 10 says, this is the message which you heard from him. So this is John speaking to the churches, and he's saying, this is the message you heard from Jesus, him, and declare to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. God is light. I mean, you got to stop and think about this. Okay, God is light. And God's saying, you are the light of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a reality about this you have to accept. The only way someone like me could be the light of the world if there was some other light in me other than the world, because my nature is just as dark as the person next to me. My ability to sin and be deceitful and cunning is just as bad as everybody else. So how could Jesus possibly suggest that I am the light of the world? How could he honestly suggest that you are the light of the world? Well, only when you get a revelation of this, that God is light. And Jesus said when he left, when he was leaving in preparation for his disciples, he says, don't worry that I'm going, because I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Now the light's going on. The light that God is now dwelling in you through the Holy Spirit. You have no capacity to be the light of the world if you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. If you don't have God indwelling, you're just another person. You might go to church for 100 years and never have the light dwelling within you. You might find yourself making it into ministry and never have the light inside you. This is not about position. This is not about a place in the chain of command in the church. This is about you. Every believer is called to be the light of the world, the light in your family, the light in your workplace, the light in your neighborhood, the light in your business, the light in this nation. It's you. You're called to be it. More than just be it, you're called to do it. You see, light doesn't have to pretend to be light. Light doesn't have to practice being light. Light doesn't have to take a course on, oh, gee, what do I got to do to be light? Light simply is, and light simply does what it is, which is an illuminator. You are meant to be an illuminator of God. What's meant to be illuminating from you is God. His light is to shine through you. His love is to shine through you. His grace is to shine through you. His mercy is to shine through you. We've all got our old agendas. I mean, Paul makes this pretty clear in Romans, where he starts talking about we've got to die to ourselves. And when we die to ourselves, then we're truly living by the Spirit of the law. Not the letter of the law, not about being religious. This is about really being what it really means to be a Christian. Simply light. Just being light, just being an illuminator, being the very presence of God here on earth. So God is light, and his light is in you if you are a born-again believer. The light illuminates We've covered this. We've just talked about this. Light illuminates. Light exposes. Light exposes both good and bad. And that's the reality. Light is not partial. You either have light or you have darkness. Light is not partial. Light doesn't only shine on the good stuff and make you feel fluffy and make you feel good. Light also shines on the bad. That's what we're meant to do. We're meant to be exposers of the good and exposers of the bad. And we're meant to be comfortable in doing it because it's the Holy Spirit working through us. We're not to be religious, judgmental Christians. Nobody likes them. But we're meant to be exposers of good and exposers of bad and do it all in love. And you see, that's the thing. It's offensive, right? Like, it's one thing to have someone expose the good and we all clap and cheer. Yes, that's good. It's another thing when someone exposes the bad. Not everybody likes the bad stuff exposed. I don't. I don't like the bad stuff being exposed in my life. I don't like sometimes when I'm reading the Word of God and what it reveals about me. I don't like it. That's why it's good for me. I don't know how seriously you take the Word of God. We did our declaration at the start where we declare, this book is the Word of God. It's inspired, it's infallible, it's inerrant, and it's the highest authority in my life. And when it speaks to me, when I read those uncomfortable truths, it demands a response, right? It demands I do something with it. When it's exposing something about me, I have to do something. Look, when you're younger, and you're standing in front of the mirror, you've got 75 watts of glowing brilliance, and you're standing in the mirror and you're looking at this. But as the years go on, you're not so pretty anymore, you're not so good looking anymore. So you take the light out, you go from 75 down to 50 watts. And after a few years, you go from 50 down to 25 watts. And we've got candles at home now. We don't trust the light bulb. It exposes way too much. And so that's your point, isn't it? You either address the problem or you begin to dim the light. You try and cover up the light. You try and get rid of that thing that's exposing the ugliness in you. And friend, if you don't think you've got any, you're kidding yourself, because that's what we just read in 1 John 1, 5 to 10. We're all sinners. Everybody's a sinner. It's all in us. And if we say, no, I don't have any sin, we're lying to ourselves. You do not have the light in you. That's what John says, is if you continue to live in darkness, you don't have the light in you. And if you deny it, you're in real trouble. Fortunately, it goes on in chapter 8 to 10 and says that, you know, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and he's just and he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The key is not to pretend and run and stay in the dark where you think, oh, I can't see my problems, therefore they don't exist. No, the key to life is to turn the light on. Let the Holy Spirit shine in every area of your life. Let the light in and deal with it. Don't do what I do in the bathroom and continue to dim the wattage because I don't want to see how old and ugly I'm getting. Accept the fact and deal with things properly. If God reveals something ugly in you, go and deal with it. And that's the catch. Not everybody wants the light because of what it exposes. So knowing that light reveals demands that response. I mean, why would we try and do something as unnatural as hide a city on a hill? Right? There's a city on a hill and you're going to try and cover it up and pretend it's not there. That's just dumb. It's a futile exercise. It will get you nowhere. And to what point, to what end, if you actually cover up the city and pretend it's not there, is it not there? Don't do unnatural things. Don't do dumb things like that. When the light's exposing in you something that is wrong, something that's got to go, there's now this floodlight of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's conviction saying, deal with it, deal with it, deal with it. Deal with it. Don't pretend it's not there. Deal with it. We're meant to be standing as brightly and as brilliantly as a city on a hill, an illuminated city on a hill, not cowering, not being afraid of the light. We're meant to love the light, not love the darkness, love the light. You and I are meant to have that light in us, exposing who we are. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit and change And then we become examples of the Holy Spirit working in us, in bringing us conviction. We repent and we become sanctified. And it's uncomfortable. Don't let anyone tell you differently. If you're not a Christian, let me tell you, unless you've got guts, this is not for you. You've got to be courageous. You've got to be tough. You've got to be able to stand up for what's right, reject what's wrong, or you won't make it as a Christian. Christianity is not for wimps. If you're a wimp, don't become a Christian. You will constantly have God speaking to you through His Holy Spirit, through His Word, through the services on Sunday, through Bible studies, through your link groups. God will constantly be speaking to you because He's trying to perfect you. Let the light in. And so God's plan is to expose the light in us and then use us to expose in others, to let that light shine. That doesn't mean you walk around condemning everybody, but there should be something about your life that is evident. There should be something about your life where people say, he's different, she's different. What's so different about them? Shine the light on injustice. Shine the light on immorality. Shine the light on hurts. Shine the light on sins. Concealed light is good for what? Exactly. Nothing. Concealed light is good for absolutely nothing and it serves no purpose. It is unnatural. And again, I warn you, if you are covering up the light that's in you, if you're trying to keep the Holy Spirit away from areas of your life where you just want to plug along and be religious, the warning to you is that light will go out. And then you're in darkness. Then you're in real trouble. Look, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to finish up on this simple little point. Verse 8 to 14 says, for you were once darkness. Whew, doesn't that hurt? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. So walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. You've got to have light in order to expose darkness. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Jesus says that you are the light of the world. So church, you are the light of the world. And the world hates the light because it's actively exposing. And so the world's response, because it doesn't want to change, it actively tries to suppress the light. Now, the good thing is the world actually can't suppress the light. The bad thing is we can. And the world is getting darker and darker and darker. Not because the world is getting more and more wicked. It's getting darker and darker because the light is not shining anymore. It's you and I who choose to suppress the light. It's you and I who try to cover up the city on the hill. It's pretty obvious that the world wants us to be quiet. It's pretty obvious the world doesn't like the conviction that comes when we stand and say, this is right and this is wrong. And they want to cover us, but they can't. All they can do is put pressure on us to be silent. And sadly, friends, the world is winning, not because we don't have the light, but because we don't let it shine, we don't let it out. And again, I warn you, if you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, if you're a born-again believer and you're not shining the light, and the people can't see the light coming out of you, people can't see something radiating from you, people can't distinguish that you are a Christian, and you've successfully suppressed the light, and you're in trouble of that light going out. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 says, awake, awake, you who sleep, awake. Christian, if you're asleep in the dark, if you've successfully covered up the light in you, it doesn't seem to affect you anymore, and it doesn't seem to affect anybody around you anymore. Friend, I want you to hear Ephesians 5:14. Wake up, turn on the light, awake, arise, and Christ will give you light again. Arise, friend. If you will awake, arise, hear this challenge, God will give you light. That's what it says, Christ will give you light. Don't ignore the alarm, don't ignore the warning, don't ignore the sound. It's time to let your light shine. Don't roll over and snooze and cuddle up under your doona in the dark. Flick on the light, get up, arise, get active, shine your light. Don't expect someone else to illuminate the world. That's what you're here for. That's why Jesus says to you and me, personally, individually, we've got to accept these words that Jesus is saying and own them. He's saying, you are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Awake, arise, let your light so shine. So if you're not a Christian or maybe a backslidden one, you know, you're not walking with God at the moment. Have you been exposed to the light this morning? Has light shone on you? Is it exposing something you? Or are you so comfortable in the dark that you're actually afraid of the light more than you're afraid of the dark? You don't want it to expose you. You don't want it to put you front and center. You don't want the light to be shining through you. There's fear in you. That's because the light is not shining. It's got to be shining in you before it begins to shine through you. Are you happy pretending that the dark is a good place to live? Are you happy pretending that, when I die, I'm okay with God. It's all right. We're good mates. Now, the Holy Spirit is here to expose. The Holy Spirit is here to shine a light into the dark areas of your life. Aren't you sick of stumbling around in the dark? Wondering what truth is, wondering what the way forward is, wondering where I am. What is my purpose in life? Friend, your purpose is to shine the light of God. That is a real purpose. Of course, as you're now experiencing, God's light is very uncomfortable because it's doing exactly what it does. It exposes, but that's a blessing. According to Jesus, that's a blessed place to be because it means God's eyes are on you. He's actually working in your life right now. You're not wandering around in the middle of nowhere with no direction. He's trying to give you direction in life. How are you going to respond? Are you going to just stay in the dark or are you going to say, oh God, let your light in. I want to know truth. I want to know the light of your truth. I want to know the truth of life. I want light in here to expose every part of my area, of my life that's not good with you, that's not right with you. I want you to use me. I want my life to have an eternal purpose. Maybe you're not walking with God. Maybe you've backslidden from God because you're still comfortable in the dark. You're comfortable pretending that everything's okay. Comfortable pretending that there's nothing wrong in your life. Well, just remember what 1 John 1 says, that if we say we haven't got sin, we're lying to ourselves and we're in darkness. And if you think you haven't got sin in your life that doesn't need to be dealt with, you're in darkness. And I want to lovingly challenge you today, friend, that if the light has come and it's exposed something in you, something that needs to be addressed, get your life right with God. This is not the end of the road. It's not like God shines a light and says, you're a horrible sinner and that's the end of it. That's why Jesus came. 1 John 1 says that if we confess our sin, He's faithful, He's just, He'll forgive us of our sin. The Holy Spirit comes with His great light and shines it in our life. And then when we respond with confession, not cover up a confession, you're right, God, I have sinned. Then Jesus' blood applies to you. Jesus died so that your sins could be paid for in full. You don't have to carry that guilt. You don't have to carry that shame. The light exposes it. You respond correctly, which is, I confess it. I've done it. It's my fault. I'm a sinner. And you can have a relationship with God. What will happen is, if you give your life to God, you confess your sin in that, and you repent. Repent means to turn around. If you give your life to God, what happens is an experience called being born again will take place in you. It's that moment when you realize, I'm God's. I'm right with God. I have a history. I've made these mistakes. I've got all these consequences. But as of this moment, God says that I no longer have to pay for those sins with Him because I've confessed them and I've committed my life to turning from them. It doesn't mean in natural world, in the natural life, you won't have consequences. But as far as God is concerned, it's paid for in full. And that can be yours today, a simple prayer. A simple prayer where you acknowledge your sin, you confess your sin, and you turn from it. You commit your life to God, and you will be born again, forgiven, made right with God. If you confess your sin, He's faithful, He's just. He will forgive you of all your sin, cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. Now, Christian, let me ask you a very pointed question. Have you been covering up your lie? Has the fear of persecution, the fear of rejection, the pressure to comply and conform, the pressure to be quiet, caused you to shrink back, cover that lie? Because you're able to get along with your family better when you're not exposing sin. You're able to get along better with your workmates when you're not standing up for righteousness. When your light is not shining, when you're not sharing the gospel, it's so much easier to get along with people, right? But that's not the function of light, friend, and you know it. You're there to be the light of the world. You're there to share the gospel, share God's love, share God's peace, share God's mercy. The light is not just for you to go in the corner and huddle up and keep warm around the fire. You are meant to be a blazing spotlight, a fire burning bright, a city on a hill that people can see. Let me just pray for you, church. Lord, I thank you for the work that you've done today. I thank you for the truth that we are the light of the world, as uncomfortable as it might be to hear. So, Lord, for each of us, we ask these two things happen. That, Lord, your light will shine in the areas of our life and we will respond correctly. That we will confess our sins and repent of them, turning away from sin and turning towards you. The second thing I ask for, Lord, is that those of us who have received the light, that we'd let it shine. That we'd move the constraints, the blankets, the attempts at covering it up. And Lord, that you would allow us to be the light, that we would be deliberate in being your light in a dark place. So church, I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Hey church, while I've got you, I just want to draw your attention to the Switch program. For those of you who might not be familiar with it, we've got a program for those who need to work through forgiveness, or should I say unforgiveness. And it's called our Switch program. And we're switching, we're turning on the switch from being hurt to whole. And much of what we're saying today is about turning the switch, turning the light on. This will really reveal stuff in you that needs to be addressed. It will be uncomfortable, but I promise it'll be for your good. We'd love you to be part of it. It's a free program. We're not charging. We're not doing anything. This is for your benefit. So send us an email on info@1cc.church and we'll send back a link where you can jump on and you can download the whole program, or you can do it live each day. It's entirely up to you. It's an interactive program, so you'll do these little short snippets and then a little bit of homework. It won't be hard work at all. A few minutes every day, or if you want to sit down and do it on your own over a number of days, it will be very beneficial to you. So it's called the Switch program. Send an email to info@1cc.church and just say, I'd love to do the switch. And we'll get back to you, send you those links. And I promise you, you'll be blessed by it. You'll be challenged by it. But if you work through these issues of unforgiveness, you can be free. So again, church, I look forward to seeing you again very soon. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May He lift His countenance toward you and bring you peace. And may all who see you see the blessing of the Lord on your life. May they see the light in you, and may that draw them to God. So church, I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Have a fantastic day. Have a wonderful week until I see you again next week. God bless. Goodbye.